And so for us as Christians, we need to stop being conspiracy theorists and start being critical thinkers. We can't shut our mind off and go, well, I'm just going to read the Bible and believe Jesus. Yes, read the Bible, believe Jesus, but do not step away from the culture that God has placed you in order to influence it for Jesus. We should be educating ourselves. Because a lot of times we're confusing simple inconveniences for persecution.
Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
How are we doing, Well family? Hope you are having a great weekend. I just came back from a little bit of vacation, and so I decided to bring the umbrella with me to just kind of sit back and relax. I'm kidding. We're going to do work today. And so I'm excited for the things that God is going to be speaking to you. Throughout this whole series through Psalms, we believe that when life moves, we move. And we get to determine if we're going to move with God or we're going to move away from God. And so as we get into the last sermon in this series, I was riding it in the Sierra Mountains in Yosemite this week, and it just, there's something about being in God's creation, there's something about being in God's word, and then there's moments where it's like you hear God's heartbeat. I know it was one of the incredible things hearing my kid's heartbeat for the first time, even with my wife began to hear her heartbeat, where after a really long run, make sure I still have a heartbeat. When I say long run, I mean like 300 feet, and it's still there. And there's something powerful when you begin to hear the heartbeat of God. And as I read through Psalm 91 that we're going to today, I believe there's something that God wants to speak to you. And not just to you, not just to your mind. I believe he wants to speak something to your heart. And I believe he wants to speak something to your soul today. Because I believe today we're going to really catch the heart of God. I really firmly believe that. So, if this is your first time here at the Well, I am so glad you're here. This is a good time to be a part of a church. Make sure to click on the link, let us know who you are so we can learn how we can best serve you and send you a free gift, all that fun stuff. But this, as well as your home, man, buckle in. Make sure that you are taking notes. If you are part of our Shepherd's Discipleship, you've got your Lectio Divina journal out. You are ready to take notes for our Sunday service here today. But before we get into that, share the link, subscribe, like the video, all those things help us gain a broader range in the internet sphere of influence in order to reach more people with the gospel from a local level. So make sure you do all those things. But we are sponsoring kids to get brand new shoes for the new school year. Some kids are going back to school. I think majority are staying home. Some they don't need backpacks. They don't need all the other stuff. But if you do, let us know. We have some of those things. We can help you out. But we figure, man, what if we got them a new pair of shoes? Like, everyone can use a new pair of kicks. So I want to encourage you, if you have not yet sponsored, let me tell you this. We have over 70 kids that still need to be sponsored. So you can sign up to buy the shoes yourself and then send them to us, or you can just give financially. $100 will pay for 3 kids' pairs of shoes. So whatever you can do, whatever God places on your heart as an offering, we want you to do that. So the link is there in the chat. It's on our website, all that fun stuff. But we have 70 kids to go. And this is one of the great ways we get to display the love of Jesus. So make sure that you be a part of that and be a part of what God's doing through that. So here we go. Psalms 91. When real life moves you. How many of you have been moved by real life lately? There's like 9 of us in here, so I assume everyone else is raising your hands because we're all going through something, and for some of us, it may be issues at home. Other of us, it's just COVID. It just stinks. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's wearing a mask all the time. It's not being able to go to your favorite restaurant. I sat outside of a Lazy Dog restaurant yesterday in Fresno, outdoors. Shade does nothing in Fresno. So it's hot and it's uncomfortable. But whenever we know we are uncomfortable, we know when something has drastically changed in our life, God is up to something. So we have an opportunity to go, no, I'm not interested. Or you have an opportunity to lean in and say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Through several different psalms, we've talked about psalms of celebration, of worship, of lament, of frustration, of anger. We learn that God's not afraid of your emotions. Isn't that good news? I love it. God's not afraid of my anger. He's not afraid of my disappointment. He's not afraid of my hurt. But today's a psalm of encouragement, because that's really the heart of the psalms, is to encourage the readers to know that you are not alone. You're not alone. You may feel alone. You may look alone. You may be in a crowded room. First of all, you shouldn't be in a crowded room, so get out of there. Second, you can still feel alone. You can be in your home with your kids, with your spouse, and feel like you're the only person there. And it's defeating and it's frustrating. There could be people that are accusing you of things or speaking poorly about you. There could be, even on a spiritual level, demonic attacks or just feeling like the whole world is against you. You feel like there's no way out. There's nothing that you could do differently that's going to change the circumstance around you. And it's isolating. Psalm 91 wants you to know not only that God is with you, but God fights for you. And it's not just fight for you like, oh, I'm a warrior and I'm going to do something. No, he's present with you. He fights with you. So in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91. Again, middle of your Bible, you literally can just go like this, and you'll get pretty much around there. Open up the middle one, and then you just keep going to Psalms. And you're going to go Psalm 91. And it's kind of interesting. This is a bit of a follow-up to last week's Psalm 51, where we see what it means to repent, what it means to confess, what it means to move forward and get out of the slavery of sin and walk into freedom. And a lot of times is we're fearful to walk out of sin. We're fearful to let our baggage and our pain and our hurt and our secrecy that we have kept secret and to bear it all because we're afraid someone's going to take advantage of our vulnerability. That's why we keep it secret. And a lot of times we think we can keep it secret from God, and God in his lovingness allows us to sometimes. But the biggest thing, the reason why we keep things secret, the reason why David hid his sin, because out of fear of shame, fear of getting caught, fear of being ridiculed, fear of being put up as an example and crucified. Psalm 91 is the perfect representation of what God sees after Psalm 51 happens. It says this, in verse 1 and 2, we get the declaration of what the psalmist is saying. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So this is my little umbrella here. And like I said about Fresno, you need some shade. And it blocks you. It creates this shade that you're able to, you're no longer in the harshness of the sun. You're no longer in the harshness of the light. You're no longer in the harshness of your enemy. You're no longer in the harshness of your guilt and of your shame, because you're in the shade of the Almighty. And I love, and I'll bring, there's a reason why the author uses Almighty here. El Shaddai, for his name of God here. It says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Man, that's a declaration. That's not like, hey, I'm thinking about it. I think he's my refuge, but I don't know. No, he is my refuge. There's no comma here. In whom I trust. He is the shelter of the Almighty. Let's keep going in verse 3. It says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now, the Fowler snare is like a hunter where they put out a specific trap in order to trap you. We discovered we have a mouse or two or three or four in our house. And so you have put out traps in order to get rid of the mice. You have, if you're going to go hunting or if you have a, I don't know, some animal in your backyard. What do we have here in California? We have possums, raccoons, and possums. Okay. You set out a trap in order to capture it. But there are things that the enemy has done for you and I that has put out a snare in order to capture you. It's purposeful. It's intentional. The goal is to get you trapped. That's what a lot of times what temptation can become. It's a snare. It's not that big of a deal. It's not a sin to step in the trap, right? It's just there. No, but then it grabs a hold of you, and you have no more control. He will save you from that trap, from that deadly pestilence, that virus that is going around called fear. Conspiracy. Anger. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Man, this picture, I always think of the movie Bambi. I don't know why, but I think it's Bambi. It's when the rain starts falling. Allie, you can help me. Is it Bambi? The rain starts falling. You see how the little chickens, the little ducks hide underneath the wings of the animal, of the bird. And he's covering the bird or the chicken or the duck or whatever it was, is covering his children, protecting them from the elements inside. And not only do you get a covering, but you get a warmth because you're under his care. Not just physical shelter, but his actual loving embrace. So I brought out one of our, if you've ever been to my house, we love blankets. But there's a covering, a warmth, a comfort that comes when God says, would you just come underneath my feathers? There's a motherly love there. I don't know about you, but you know, fall, you got your pumpkin spice latte, you're sitting and curl up next to it, you got your blanket around you, you got your Netflix on, like everything's good, right? I don't know about you, but especially during COVID, how many of you just need a hug? Like you never knew how much you miss and embrace from another human being. God covers us. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousands may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will not only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, you make the Most High your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Now, this verse is interesting because you go, wait a minute, I've been following Jesus for X amount of years, X amount of months, and I have still faced disease. I have still faced a struggle. I have still faced really heartbreaking situations. God, I thought I was dwelling in your house. And this is one of those things about the kingdom of God where we have to understand it is a now and not yet. End of the day, you may get COVID. End of the day, you might have cancer. At the end of the day, you might get hit by a truck. But when you are confessed your faith and your love in Jesus Christ, you are welcome into the eternal gates of heaven. See, we think this is the end of our story, and it's not. No matter what you may face here on earth, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is none of that in heaven where we get to be with our eternal Father. There is none of that will affect us while we're in his dwelling. Verse 11, for the will of his angels concern you to guard you in all the ways that they will lift you up in their hands. So that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. We see Jesus did that himself. Then the verse 14, the author gives us an invitation. He says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This invitation is, hey, you want this. You want to be able to know that this life here on earth is not the end. That there is better things ahead. You want to be in the dwelling place of God where he not only protects you, but he saves you and he covers you. If you do this, I will rescue you. I love it. It says, because he loves me. Because we've chosen to love God. Because we have chosen to say yes to Jesus. We are now in a new covenant. We're now under his covering. Where we get to choose to receive all the goodness that comes with him. Number one, I want you to write this down because God kind of lays out, the psalmist lays out what it means to do this, what it means to dwell in the house of the Lord. And number one, it's simply this: love the Lord God. Love the Lord God. It sounds simple, huh? How many of us discovered it's not that simple? Because there's a lot of other things that we want to love too. I love it in Deuteronomy. It tells us, it won't be there on the screen for you, but it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That means that we get to love the Lord God with our intellect, with our mind. Believe it or not, as a Christian, you're not supposed to turn your brain off. Well, I'm just going to have faith. I was thinking about that. We're driving down the 99 this week, and I go, man, if we approached kind of the way sometimes how Christians think, like, oh, I don't want to be led by fear, I want to be led by faith. Do you recognize that us, when whoever created the highway system said, we're going to put cars on this road, great. We're going to put four in a row, awesome, great idea. How much space should be between each car? Let's do about 4 inches. What? Yeah, I think if we do 4-inch little stripes, that's going to keep all the cars separated. And I realize it takes faith to drive in Southern California. I get that. But it's fear that keeps us in the line, right? Not so much of death. I think we're more afraid of our insurance rates going up. Like, we already pay enough here in California. It's the fear of insurance that keeps us in our lane. There's a wisdom about that. And so for us as Christians, we need to stop being conspiracy theorists and start being critical thinkers. We can't shut our mind off and go, well, I'm just going to read the Bible and believe Jesus. Yes, read the Bible, believe Jesus, but do not step away from the culture that God has placed you in order to influence it for Jesus. We should be educating ourselves. Because a lot of times we're confusing simple inconveniences for persecution because we are so wrapped up in not looking at data. Not looking at what the science says. Not looking at what the smart people around us are saying and doing. I get there's confusion, there's frustration, but don't ever sit back as a Christian and just get lazy. We need to be critical thinkers because when we're critical thinkers, we love God with all of our mind. Challenge yourself. Read books. Watch TED Talks. Study subjects that are in faith and science and psychology and other things that are outside of your normal wheelhouse. Being a Christian is not a pass to not being intellectual. We need both. We also know that Jesus, following Jesus, that means that we need to become, that we love him with all of our heart. We need to become self-aware. Embrace our emotions instead of being controlled by them or instead of ignoring them completely. We get to love God. Find out what motivates you. What causes fear in you? What causes you to move forward? Don't take a number and settle into a box someone else identified for you. Ask the questions. The greatest question you can do as a human being, as a believer in Jesus, and a contributing member of society is always ask the question, why? Why am I feeling this way? Why is this a trigger? Why do I feel like I need to lash out or behave poorly? Why is this thing shaking? Probably because I'm shaking. But we also need to follow Jesus by surrendering our will. Jesus tells his disciples, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, a lot of us, we hold on to the Christian label, but we still demand to do our own thing. Do you know that you're not always going to agree with God on things? Knowing that submission isn't about agreeing. Submission is saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. One of my greatest quotes in all the Star Wars movies actually comes from one of the most recent ones out of Solo from Lando Calrissian. I love it. And he says this, I don't like it, I don't agree with it, but I accept it. That is so much of what our Christian walk with is with God, because we don't always understand. We don't see the end. God's not asking you to agree with him. He's asking you to follow him. You may not understand it. You may not get it until the very end. That's what it means to surrender your will to him. He may ask you to do things that you don't want to do. You don't have the gifting. He'll give you the gifting. Trust him. Surrender your will. Jesus himself does this before he goes to the cross. It's not my will be done, but your will be done. So he teaches us to pray. Your will on earth as it is in heaven. But I don't know if it's because we're red-blooded Americans and we want it our way. Or we grew up with Burger King says, have it your way. I don't know which one it is. But we think our Christian life is a Burger King commercial. God's not asking you if you want pickles or not. We all know pickles are from the devil. We can agree on that, right? No? No? Okay. Hold on. Okay. If I'm missing, it was them. Are you willing to trust God? And the psalmist says, I hide in the shelter and I trust him. He's my refuge and I trust him. That means I'm surrendering control and allowing God to take it. That's hard. That's hard for me. That's hard for me because I constantly, no, I think we should do it. No, okay. God, I think you, just let me, no, oh, okay. One thing that we learn that happens when you hide in, when you're in his shelter, you're in his refuge, when we purposely step out of that, when we don't choose to love God with our heart, mind, soul, you're also outside the protection. What's awesome, God never closes his doors. We always get to go back in. But number two, write this down. Acknowledge his name. Allow his name to be your authority. The good thing is God will never force himself upon you, but we have to give him permission to allow him to be Lord in our life. Not because he needs our permission, but because he willfully is not going to force himself upon us. He's a humble servant. When we say, Lord, would you come into my life? You're inviting him to have permission to trust. See, that's the difference between submission and slavery. Slavery says, I'm taking authority over your life. You can't say or do anything about it. Submission says, I'm willfully giving it to you. Those are two different things. Submission is not a control thing. It's a thing that you honor and you cherish. See, the greatest word in any language, the greatest word in any language to any individual, it's not I love you. It's not here's a coupon to free food. The greatest word in every human language to any individual is their name. Your name carries who you are. Your name signifies whether you have authority or don't have authority. See, Aaron and I have pet names for each other. We're trying to be cute. And, for her, I call her Freddie sometimes. I know it's weird, but I call her Freddie. Doc McStuffins, Sweetheart, Honey. She'll call me sometimes like Sweet Cheeks. Yeah, Sweet Cheeks. She'll call me Sweetheart. The most recent one, she's probably texting me right now like, why are you sharing these right now? Hottie Cakes. I like that one, Hottie Cakes. Hottie Cakes. Anyways, I like that one. But those are sweet, those are fun, those are kind, those are playful. Like, oh, honey, oh, sweetheart, blah, blah. But when she says Eric, oh, we're talking about serious stuff now. Like, there's something like, oh, that's my actual name. Like, oh, we're going to talk about something that matters now. It's not just honey, sweetheart, boo-boo, whatever. No, it's like Eric. That means something's going to happen. I remember when Jude was about to be born, he's 6 weeks early. I had there's like 1,000 nurses are coming in because my wife developed preeclampsia. And they don't know if she's going to survive. They're pretty sure Jude's going to survive, but there's a 50-50 chance if my wife is going to survive. And they come in, they have me signing a piece of paper, 100 different nurses are coming in, and Aaron's like the calmest I've ever seen Aaron. If you know Aaron, she's fiery. Okay, but she's calm. I'm freaking out. I yelled at 20 nurses. I feel bad, but I did. I just said, everyone, just quiet. I don't know what's happening. As I'm freaking out, I'm panicking, I'm breathing hard, and Aaron just says, Eric. And everything slowed down. And she looked at me. She said, I'm going to be okay. I looked at the nurses, and they did not believe her. But when she used my name, it caught my attention. See, in this psalm, God, the author uses God's name El Shaddai. This is not El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. This is not, I just think, Father God, Abba Father, Lord Jesus, God, my Father. Like, no, this is God Almighty, El Shaddai. This is not asking for a wimpy, passive God. This is the author calling out God because he needs God in full Hulk mode. He needs God in Grand Slam, knockout, hole-in-one, Megazord, all tens on Dancing with the Stars God. I need God, El Shaddai, to come and cover me. I don't want a quiet God who speaks in a whisper. I want a God who flooded the earth. I want the God who parted the sea. Because God, I need a miracle. God, I need protection. I need your shelter, El Shaddai. This is no weak God. This is the God Almighty. And that's the God who promises to be with us. And so this is not a name. It's just weak. This isn't just a name. No, this is proclaiming that this is serious. The author needs El Shaddai. I believe there are people in this room, there are people in this church, there are people who are watching right now, whether on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday at 3 a.m., you need El Shaddai. You need our God, the Lord Almighty. And number three, what we have to do is we have to begin to call on his name. See, we have so many things that we can call. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Okay. In times of trouble, you have times of decision making. You can call your best friend. You can call your ex. Don't do that. No matter how lonely you are in COVID, don't call your ex. Okay. You can call Larry H. Parker. You can call anyone that you want for help. And that's what we do. We end up talking to 20 people. They all give us their opinion, and none of it helps. But what if you chose to call on God? What if you chose to call on El Shaddai? What if you decided to call out to him? He's never going to give you what you ask for or lead you in the direction you need to go if you never ask him. Just ask him. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one that provides the sparrows and every other animal could rely on him for provision. Why can't we? We spend so much of our time outside the shelter of God and wonder why God's not protecting, why God isn't providing. Because we've kept him too busy on deck. We've never called him in. You will not begin to trust him unless you call on him. A lot of us, we depend on our relationship with God like we do Yelp restaurants. We're waiting for a 5-star review from somebody else and we'll give it a try. But you don't actually know. But I want to give you a picture of who this God is, who this El Shaddai is. Not only does he provide you with a shelter where you are in his shade, but he comforts you. He covers you. And I believe that the shelter represents our physical and the covering, that he's close, he's present. But he does something else in that verse, doesn't he? He says he sends his angels. So I'm going to invite every single person who's in this room right now to come on stage with me. Come on stage, come on stage. I want you to just stand right here. Do your best to social distance, but, you know, let's be real. Face that direction, face that direction. Okay, stay right here. Okay, hold Miss Allie's. And what happens here, as God covers you and he gives you shelter, he provides his angels, so whatever the enemy is going after you, whatever situation in your life, it is no longer about what they can see you. They can't see you anymore because you're too busy covered by El Shaddai, the Almighty. So you can't see me because God's protection is before me. He sends his angels. He sends his spirit. I asked all of them to, when they come up here, look like they want to beat somebody up. Jude's ready to go. Because this is the way God loves you. This is the way God cares for you. Thank you, my angels. I'm going to invite Jessica to come back up. I believe that there are things that God wants to do in your life, but they will not happen until you come into the shelter of the Almighty. And it's when you're in this shelter of the Almighty that you get to experience trust, because you get to see him be faithful over and over and over and over and over again. Am I saying there's not going to be difficult times? Yeah, there's going to be difficult times. But I'd rather deal with the drama that's in front of me than have to deal with all the drama around me, too. It says that his shelter protects you from the arrows of the enemy, from the snares of the enemy, the things that are going around you. So if we would just settle and find peace, would you find rest in his shade? Everywhere we hiked this week, it was hot, it was frustrating, it was you get thirsty, all you can think of, when can I find the shade? When can I cool down? When can I find rest? And I believe some of you today need to find rest. Jesus paves the way for our long life, our salvation, our covering. Jesus is the answer to our call for God to rescue and to save us. Proverbs, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. Imagine if that was your declaration. And that really begins with you saying yes to Jesus. He saved us. He rescued us from our sin. And all it starts with saying, I choose you. I want you in my life. If you have never discovered Jesus before, you want to discover Jesus today, I want to invite you to pray this with me. Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you. I want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I can have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life. Teach me to display your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that was you today, we want to celebrate you discovering Jesus for the very first time. There'll be a link in the comments for you to click on to just give you information so that we can come alongside of you as you begin to walk with Jesus. Now, there's other of you who is ready for you to encounter the love of Jesus. Maybe it's time to encounter the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit not only comes to empower and to give us gifts, but he also seals our salvation. He's our peace. He's our rest. And there's some of you in here and at home that you need to be filled with the Spirit again. Be covered. He convicts us. He leads us as we're filled. So I want us at home and in here, if you can just lift your hands. And I just want us to pray. I want us to pray, not in your name, not in someone else's name, but in his name, his authority, calling his name. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So this is that time. Can we acknowledge him? Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We recognize that you are the lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, we want to call on your name. There are those who are watching and are part of things right now, Lord, who need your touch on their marriage, who need your touch on their family, who need their touch on their job. Lord, we don't want to do it on our own name or outside of your covering. Lord, we want your covering. God, we need El Shaddai to fight for us. We need your angels to fight for us, to cover us. But Lord, most of all, we need your Holy Spirit to empower us. And so, Lord, we ask that you, would you fill us with your Spirit? In the name of Jesus, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, we come before you, recognizing your authority, submitting ourselves willfully to you, because we love you. We want to dwell in your presence all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, I believe that God is speaking, and I believe that there are things that he continues wants to do and speak to you in your heart. Maybe you need to pause. Maybe you need to take a moment this afternoon and just sit and be with Jesus. Maybe today, go for a walk. Find a shady tree or an umbrella. And just come and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And pray. Acknowledge his name and call to him. And I believe as we do that, when real life comes to move you, you know to move with God, not away from him. Or you know when it's time to stand firm. Say, I'm not moving because God's not moving. Well, if you are at home with your family, you have someone, go ahead and grab their hand. We're going to pray us out. God, we thank you for all that you are. Lord, we thank you that you are so good, that you are our loving Father who covers us, but you're also El Shaddai who fights for us. You are the Almighty God. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and give him praise there in your home.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.